Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, this morning I continue in the series of the Shepherd Psalms. And the Shepherd Psalm covers so much. Last week I spoke on Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. For those who didn't hear that message, it is online. That was the first part of verse 4. Today, I will do the second part of verse 4. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Each one I ask the question, who is he in this part? He is our Father. Who are we? We are his children. Whose rod? His rod and his staff will protect and will comfort us. So I want us this morning to understand, have an understanding of the rod and the staff. This is the same stick, has two extremely different purposes. On one side, it is a corrective. On the other side, it is a healer. Both instruments helping to accomplish the same task. So let me start off this morning speaking about the rod of correction. The rod of correction is known as the stick of correction or the assistant for discipline, the discipline assistant. This rod is known to bring discomfort with the assurance that it's seasonal discomfort to lead to a more futuristic comfort. When we go astray from the rules or the guidelines that are meant to keep us safe, there used to be a rod that would remind us of those rules. Unfortunately, many people abused the rod of correction and instead used it as a rod of anger, which anger is a sin factor. So many people use what God instituted as discipline for their own sin factor. So instead of corrections, growth is now reduced to verbal affirmation without consequence. Oh, Susie, you are doing fine, even though you are so bad. The rod in the good day, when it was used wisely and for its right purpose, they wouldn't even have to use it. They would just have to just show it. Young people are going, what? They showed it to you and you went to your room? How many people just let the young people know? That's how it worked. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And in the word son or child, it's both male and female. See, God never intended the use of the rod for abuse. God intended the use of the rod for discipline. One of the seven deadly sins that God lists is anger. Anger comes amongst the seven deadly sins. Anger, pride, envy, laziness, greed, self-indulgence, and impurity. So that means that amongst all the sins we can do, there's some deadly sins, and anger is one of them. So those of you who've been beaten by the rod, that is a sin that occurred. It's not God's word that says beat them with the rod. The Bible says chasten. It says to discipline, but never in anger to beat someone. And those that are still living with the trauma of it, I apologize to you on behalf of the word of God, because that's not what was instituted. And would you take that and allow it to heal you? Because God never, let me say that again, God never intended to use the rod for abuse. It was intended to be used for discipline. It is for our growth and definitely our betterment that the rod should be used. Most people hate the rod, But without the rod of correction, our lives can be ruined. We can lead our lives into ruin and causing our own future to be dimmer. Guidance and discipline, when done correctly, help people to grow better and to grow into a brighter future. Can I hear an amen? Preacher John Hagee, that I used to listen to, I use the word used to, he says, there's a connection point in the learning which is best understood most times only by the application of the rod to the correct seat of learning. Would you like, Nate, do you guys need a translation of that? He's basically saying, when the rod was applied in the right place, learning happened instantly. Do you see the generational breakdown? The rod is a rod of restraint. It's known as a restraining tool. When a child needs guidelines to go by, the rod is used to warn of impending danger and to save from destruction. Proverbs 22:15 said, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it away. When we begin to go astray, it's not when it says the child, it's also for us. When we begin to go astray, when we begin to digress in our behavior, the rod is helped as a guideline to help us get back on track. And that is for us spiritually. There's a spiritual rod that is needed, especially in this day, because the rod is a corrective force. And when we are in this type of day, where each week as pastors, we have to preach about the discipline of worship and the discipline of the word and the discipline of giving God our best, then the rod of correction is needed, not the one we can apply to you as adults, but the spiritual rod, which is that jolt in the spirit that says what I'm doing is wrong. Are you hearing me this morning? When we go astray, the rod is a stop sign. The rod helps the sheep when the sheep gets negligent, idle, and lazy. The rod helps the sheep when the sheep gets negligent, idle, and lazy. I don't know if it won't show on yours as much, but I made the N, the I, and the L more capitalized. Doesn't show up in those programs, but if you capitalize the N, the I, and the L, what do you get there? The rod helps the sheep when it gets to nil. Negligent, idle, and lazy. See, sheep have a tendency to settle and become lazy. Do you know any one like that? Sometimes they get so idle, they begin to wander into bushes. Do you know any people wandering nowadays? Or they become so negligent, they don't see the cliff ahead of them. When the sheep starts the game aimlessly and they come too close to the cliff and they can't see what they're doing, the rod is what stops them. Folks, we're in a day where we need God's rod of correction in the lives of so many. So many people are by the cliff and don't know it. So many people are wandering aimlessly. Aimless. Oh, I'm just giving God a break. Really? And what happens when He gives you a break? The rod would poke the sheep to say, stop. Or the shepherd would come in front of the sheep, and that sheep knew, back up, back up, back up. I wish that we could in this day. I wish I could get out there to all of our Christians and go, back up. Oh, don't you just wish it? The shepherd's rod would come out quickly. What would it do? It would give a jolt. It would give a jab to the sheep. And the sheep would say, it would say, move away, take a pace back, stop, you're getting too close to danger. And that, folks, is where we're at today. People have walked away from the safety of God, and they're wandering like sheep. We've heard the scripture earlier when I did Psalm, the other Psalm, my sheep know my voice. People do not know the voice of God in this day. Their hearing is impaired. Their eyesight is impaired. When you don't see the word of God because you're reading it, you can't see the things of God because nothing is giving you that rod correction that is needed. The shepherd knows that it's better to use the rod to jolt the sheep back to safety than to allow the sheep to fall over a cliff. And the interesting thing, when a sheep goes towards a cliff, there might be one stubborn sheep that the shepherd has, one. And you know that because there's always one. And the shepherd will know this one is stubborn. But when that one goes to the cliff, if the shepherd doesn't use the rod and push it back with a jolt, push it back, it doesn't learn not to do it again. We're going to talk about the rod and the staff, thy rod and thy staff. But at that point, the shepherd uses the rod. Get back. Go. Don't do that. And that jolt will cause the sheep to realize that should not be repeated. But here's what the problem is. When the shepherd allows the sheep to just go ahead and do its thing, sheep are stupid. It is the dumbest animal next to a donkey. So if the sheep goes and it comes to the edge of the cliff and the rod doesn't push it back, it will fall over and die. But you want to know what will happen next? Talk to me. They all will follow the one that fell. We need to recognize what we do sets an example for what they do. We've forgotten that in this day, that it is not just my life. My life impacts many lives. So many are gone astray. So many are falling into the cliff. So many are tumbling over. Well, I have my rights. Your rights are your rights. But it's wrong when your rights causes others to fail, to fall, and to be destroyed. Now, someone please tell me why throughout the Bible, first of all, let's establish this, that sheep is stupid, right? Anybody knows that? Is that real? Okay, most stupid animal, sheep. Can someone tell me why the Lord always calls us? The problem is that sheep does not have a brain. But the other one, the us's, he gave us all faculties and full brain. So who's really stupid? Just saying. I just threw it out there. Take it how you'd like it. See, the shepherd knows it's better to use the rod to jolt the sheep back to safety than let them fall over the cliff. It's better to nudge them so that they do not wander off into danger, because death does not come from the nudge of the rod. Death comes from going too far over the cliff. One writer says, it's not the beating or the whipping, but simply a loving corrective measure that will help the sheep go back. There are times when you're even trying to use the word to help someone come back, and they're like, don't quote the Bible to me. I'm sorry, that is the rod. What am I going to use then? What do you want, some loving flowers and some milk chocolate? Proverbs 23:13 says, don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Now here's the thing. God requires us, his children, to anticipate the loving rod of correction when we wander off into the darkness, the bushes, the cliffs, the rocks, the places we shouldn't be, the dangerous places. But an interesting thing about Proverbs 23, when he talks about children, he was not referring to adults. He was saying that the children need the counsel of the rod, and it's good for them. But here's what he's saying. Adults should be mature enough to already know how the rod works. Are you with me? But we're in a day where adults don't seem to know the Word of God, what it says, and that He's really serious and that He's coming again. And so we are afraid of God's prodding. We're afraid of God's jabs. We're afraid because we don't want to discern right from wrong. We just like, God, we'll give you a moment, but the rest of life is mine, and I should do whatever I want. And even if you put the stop sign in front of me, I'm going to drive right through it. Well, when you drive through a stop sign, you might have driven through a few stop signs, but one day there'll be a police officer to help you figure out if it's the right behavior. Oh, but I always drive through stop signs. Yes, and he'll be saying, but not today. I do have to throw this one in. The church already knew this one because it was such a moment. I'm from Quebec. You all know that, right? Grew up in Montreal. In Montreal, we have one-way streets. Grew up all the time. And so when we were teenagers, you know, young adults had my own car. We had this thing where... Now, it's not for you to do, okay, and don't do it in Ontario because you didn't grow up in this. Rather than go all the way up a one-way street to come back down another one-way street, we learned to put that baby in reverse. And I drove stick shift, so it's like, and zing it right back so that we come back out on a main. And it was not good. So I grew up doing that. You get a few tickets and, you know, that's all youthfulness and you laugh and joke with your friends. Oh, I got a ticket that got caught the other day. And like, oh man, how many? So sometimes you forget who you are as a child of God or a pastor maybe. One day I left the church. We were here. It was a very long day. We were here and I ran to my car. I needed to get somewhere, and it was later in the evening. We had an evening meeting even, and I still had to go stop. I think I had to go to a hospital. So I dashed into my car, got there, and when I got to the lights, when your phone doesn't come on the car, you know your phone's not in the car. I'm like, oh no, I left my phone in the office. And so I just got to get back to go get it. So I just, a Montreal moment came. Didn't even think about it. I just put the baby in reverse, and I went right into the church, just coming. And just as I'm just coming up the driveway of the church there, I hear, and the officer came, and he pulled. I'm right now at the gate of the church, and he goes, what was that? I said, I forgot my cell phone. He goes, no, I didn't ask you what you're doing. I said, what was that? I said, oh, officer, I forgot my cell phone. I had to get it quickly. He goes, yeah, but that's not how we usually get it. I said, yeah, but I shouldn't have said this. I said, I'm from Montreal. I learned to drive backwards really quickly. He goes, what speed was that? I said, well, you can't clock it going backwards. So he said, I'm not sure what speed I'll put on it, but I'm going to write it up. And I said, officer, if you're going to give me a ticket, do it quickly. I'm the pastor of the church, and they're all going to be coming out any minute now. So he took his time. And just to punish me, he didn't charge me. He gave me a warning. But he took his time to make sure the people came out of the church. That's why I could tell the story again, because many of you remembered it, and so it was not hidden. That was the rod of correction. Ask me if I'll do that again. Every so often I go, I'm like, no, let's just drive down through the light, turn around, come back. It's so long. But it's so right. See, the Word of God is our rod. And the rod speaks of divine authority, the authority of the Lord. The Word is our divine authority. The Word prods, the Word guides, the Word instructs, the Word teaches. Deuteronomy 26, 16 to 19. Today the Lord your God has commanded you to obey all these decrees and regulations. So be careful to obey them wholeheartedly. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and you have promised to walk in his way and to obey his decrees, his commands and regulation, and to do everything he tells you. The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure, just as he promised, and that you must obey all his commands. And if you do, he will set you high above all the other nations he has made. And then you will receive praise and honor and renown. You will be a nation that is holy to the Lord your God, just as he promised. See, the word is our guide in helping us choose life or death. Deuteronomy 13, 17 says, if you turn your hearts away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, today I am giving you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursings. One of these messages, and I think it will come up in Matthew, I'll have to preach about choosing other gods. When we read these passages, we think of the idols they made. But there are more idols today than they made back in those days. We have idols in our lives, idols in our homes, idols in our hands, idols in the things that God has blessed us with, and we choose not to discipline ourselves. So even when his poke and his prod, put that cell phone down and read the word. Get this thing out of your hand and study God's word. Spend a moment in prayer and turn off that. We ignore the prodding and the pushing and the guidance, and we go our own way, do our own thing, fall over the same cliff, and then we're looking for God. What happened here? The shepherd, who is the Lord our God, places the rod before us, which is the word of God. It is the tool of authority. It symbolizes God's strength, God's power, God's authority, and God's love. This may look like a sharp end, but the word is a sharp, double-edged sword that cuts to the dividing of soul and spirit to guide us and to keep us in the way we should go. That is the purpose of the rod. There's a sweet side to the rod. The rod and the staff protect and comfort. So one question is, how does the rod, which stands for protection, for correction and discipline, also comfort? How does this comfort? Well, see, the rod is an instrument of protection. The rod is used to beat away attackers. For the shepherd never guards his sheep without his rod. He wards off the attacker with the same rod, no matter what type of attacker comes against his sheep. Whether it be a lion or a bear or a hyena or a cobra, no matter what it is, the snakes can come. Even Satan's darts can come. But the rod of the shepherd will ward off the predator on your behalf. It is the same rod that corrects. The same rod that protects. Jesus on the mountainside said to Satan, when he came to tempt him, he said, it is written. See, the word of God is a rod against Satan's schemes. It is written. And when we have the word within our soul, we can say one word, and the word is a jab against the schemes of the enemy. It'll protect us from harm, keep us from danger, shield us from evil. Every situation, every circumstance, the rod is there to protect us. But the rod is also a scissor. If the sheep is entangled in thorns, the shepherd would go and he would take the rod and he would remove the thorns or pry the sheep out of the thorns. And it serves as a scissor to cut the sheep out of its trouble. Likewise, God's word, again, it's a scissor. It cuts us out of the situation. Sometimes we get ourselves entangled in areas and places and things we should not be caught up in. But he comes. The word comes to cut us out of those things. Whatever you need cut out today, let the word of God begin to scissor through it so that you can come out from the snares and the entanglement that the enemy has set for you. The word, the rod is a surgeon's tool, the same rod. It's a surgeon's tool. It's an instrument for the physician. There's an old saying, and you've all heard this, you can't pull the wool over my eyes. Anyone heard that one? That's a shepherd's statement. For the sheep would often have very thick and long wool, and insects would get underneath it. Or sometimes they would be bruised, but the naked eye couldn't tell where the hurt was because the wool covered the wound, so it was not visible. And the shepherd would take his rod, the very sharp edge of his rod, and he would pull the wool aside, and he would begin to search for the problem underneath. And when he found it, then he would add the healing balm to it. I want you to know today, God's word is that rod that pulls the wool aside. Many of you've got some wool all over you, covering you. What kind of wool is it? It's the mask that you're wearing. But God's word comes to remove that. Oh, there are people that hurt you, pain that is in your soul, long-term pain, short-term pain, and you can smile and you can keep going, but deep inside, the scar and the wound is under there. But when the shepherd's rod comes, he removes the wool until he finds where is the pain, and then he puts the balm of the Lord in there. I want some of you to take that balm in your spirit today. Nobody can see what you're going through. Nobody understands the pain you're living in, but the great shepherd, he sees, he feels, he knows, and he knows where to find where that is. If you would allow him to touch you with the balm. See, when the shepherd is about to put the balm, the sheep has to be ready to receive it so that healing can begin. That's a word for someone today. God, David says, search me, O God, and know my thoughts, know my anxious thoughts. Would you use the rod of God? Allow it. It's the word. Go through the Bible, you'll find something to help you find your healing for where you're at. How many receive that today? Praise God. See, it's a comfort to know that the same rod that disciplines, the same rod that corrects, the same rod that instructs, the same rod that guides, the same rod that detangles from danger is the same tool that God uses to strengthen, to help, and to heal. His rod is also his staff. My rod and my staff will comfort you. The staff is an instrument of compassion. It is a compassionate tool held in the hand of the shepherd who hears the bleat of every sheep, the cry of every sheep. Just as the Lord says, his ear is attentive to our cry. Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. David said, God, the hope of the helpless. Did you hear those two words? The hope of the helpless. If you're feeling helpless, there is a great shepherd. David cried out to him. That's why David wrote the psalm. And David is saying, he's got a staff in his hand, and when he hears you, Psalm 55, 16, I call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my cry. David was a literal shepherd, so he knew when he heard the bleat of a sheep, he would go. It was either danger and he would have to get the rod, or it was the type of danger where he's like, I've got to pull you up myself. Nobody can get you up. You can't get yourself up, but I've got something, a tool that I use to pull you up out of the situation. Oh, friends, nobody can pull us up like our God can pull us up. But it means we're going to have to cry. When the sheep fell over a cliff or it was lost in the bushes and it cried, the shepherd would grab his staff and he would run after it. And that's what God wants us to do. The shepherd would go, and no matter how deep it is, he would position himself and reach that staff down. And he would carefully hook that staff on the neck of the sheep and bring it up. My God in heaven, he's got your neck covered. Oh, glory to God. He can extend the staff from heaven to right where you are. Doesn't matter what your situation, how deep it is, his staff, this only has so much length, but his staff, it goes from heaven right here to earth. You are not too deep that he cannot find you. You're not too heavy that he can't lift you. You're not too far that he can't see you. God's staff is with you, and he will strengthen, help, and heal you. So I want to remind us of this other great part. The Holy Spirit is the staff of God. See, the staff guides, the staff helps, the staff delivers, the staff strengthens, the staff does so much. When you study the Holy Spirit, which in October we'll go through the course again, isn't that what Holy Spirit does? So we've got the staff also within us. The staff has power to draw us out of the ditch and to protect us from trouble. The staff has the power for the sheep to, as they're traveling together and they wander from the pathway, to pull them back on the right path. The staff, one good reception about the staff. The sheep knew when it was hurting and it laid down and it was just there moaning. They say the shepherd would just take his staff and he would rest it on the sheep, and that sheep would remain calm because he knows the shepherd is right there with him. The sheep would not continue to bleat because he knows if the shepherd is going to leave, he's taking his staff to go. So if his staff is rested on me, then that means he's right here beside me. He's not gone anywhere. Folks, the Holy Spirit is right here with us. He's not gone anywhere. He's resting on us. And as he rests on us, you need to feel his presence and his power. The staff is a comforter to the sheep. When you see this, when you feel the staff, when you feel the Holy Spirit, you need to respond and say, oh God, I know you are with me. Never will you leave me. Never will you forsake me. It's not time to resist the staff. It's time to rest with the staff, because he will deliver, he will save, he will heal. And lastly, the Holy Spirit, our comforter, wants us to respond as the sheep does to the staff. Recognize the Comforter is with us. The Holy Spirit, our friend, our guide, our healer, our helper, our deliverer. Be contented to dwell in his presence, to know he's right there with us. The staff has power over every situation. And today, if you need healing, his precious staff is with you. I just want to read a couple of things that I found interesting as I was studying this passage. That we're in the Old Testament, they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit as visible, as vivid, as revealed as we have, but they knew the power of God. In Genesis 47:31, when Jacob was dying, it says he leaned on his staff and he blessed Jacob, who became a mighty man of God. It meant he was leaning on the Spirit of God, so that he could leave the next generation the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? In Exodus 17, when Moses went up to the mountain to fight the Amalekites, and the Amalekites started to prevail, Moses lifted up the staff of God, and the deliverance came as they held up his hand. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. When Moses had to walk to the Red Sea, he took his staff and he had to stretch it out over the water. There's some situations you don't know what you're going to do, but would you just allow the Holy Spirit to stretch out over your situation and watch God turn it around? When Elisha was called by the woman, he sent his son Gehazi. He said, Gehazi, take my staff and run and put it on the dead boy's body. The staff, he said, go put it on the dead boy's body. Do you hear me? Go put the staff on the dead boy's body and he'll live. There's some dead things in your life that the Holy Spirit wants you to put the word of God back on it and let it come back to life. Put the Spirit of God on it. Let it come back to life. Why? His rod and his staff, they comfort. Many of us are trying to protect ourselves, defend ourselves, shield ourselves, hide ourselves. Don't let anybody find ourselves. The word of God says, I'm here to heal you. I'm here to help you. Don't hide your pain from God. Take your pain to God and ask him to put his staff on it. Ask him to use the staff. Pull me up, God. Some of you need to beg God today. Pull me up. I'm sinking. Pull me up. And some of you need to ask God, Father, put the stop sign. I'm going too far. Put the stop sign. I can't seem to stop myself. Because true comfort is found only in knowing how to use the rod and the staff. And what does he say in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4b? He says what? The rod, say it with me, the rod and my staff, what? They what? Do you want the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Then do what a sheep would do, calls out to God. Two sides to the same stick. Correction for wrongdoing and sin, which you can repent of today. You can repent of it today. And then comfort for sorrows that you're suffering, and you can trust him today. I want to ask every head bowed right now. Father, there's some that need to repent because they've gone too far. Gone too far. The stop sign's there, but they haven't been seeing it visibly. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God Almighty, I ask you to show them the stop sign. That they would today would say, oh God, I need that Holy Spirit rod. I need the word. The word needs to come alive in my soul that I know when to and how to stop. Lord, I pray, God, salvation for the one that has gone way beyond, now is in the cliff. For you saved us, Lord, that we would walk in the power of life, that we would choose life, not death. So I pray today, oh God, for the one that has not yet chosen Christ's life, but is trying to live a worldly life. And that's where the pits, that's where the cliffs, that's where the rocky places, that's where the uncertain terrain, that's where the sinking sand is. So Father, today, Lord God, may everyone and anyone who needs you accept this is a new day. I need to accept that the rod is a corrector for my betterment, not for my detriment. So I want to ask right now, is there anyone here? You'd say, Pastor Marie, I need to give my heart to the Lord and allow his rod, his word, to activate in my life and keep me from the places, the danger points, the struggles that I'm going through. Online, if that's you, would you today accept this word? This word is for you. His rod will protect and comfort you if you allow it to do so. So if you have not yet acknowledged the Lord as your personal Savior online, I ask you to do so today. Would you please make it a priority? And you can reach out, reach us prayer at PPC Life, or right now there's someone in our chat line. If you go into a chat box right now during this service, someone's there ready to have a conversation with you and to help you walk through this journey. In-house, is there any that would say, Pastor Marie, I need today to acknowledge the Lord as my personal Savior? Wherever you're seated, would you just raise a hand and let me just see that hand and pray for you? Thank you. Is there any other? I'm looking all over. Is there any other? Thank you. You could take that hand down. God bless you. Would you all repeat this prayer with me, online and in-house? And would you repeat it, dear sister, with everything inside of you? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. You are my shepherd. I am your sheep. I've made some mistakes. I've walked away. I've sinned. I've fallen in some cliffs. But today, I thank you that you never left me alone. So I ask you to use your rod and help me to stop from doing the same thing. I ask you to use your staff and pull me up into deliverance, that I will be a sheep that loves its shepherd. You are my shepherd. I'm your child. I give you my life. You died for me. You rose again. You ascended to heaven. And you're praying for me. So here I am today. I'm yours. Take my life and help me to live from life to life. I accept the word of God. I accept the spirit of God. And I do this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please online send us a message. And to the one that prayed that here today, God bless you. Please meet one of our pastors over on this side. As we close this morning, two sides to the same stick. And comfort is found in both sides. Yes, one side is for correction because of wrongdoing. The other side is for retrieving because wrong is done to us. But the power of the Holy Spirit, it is he who ignites the word and causes both the rod and the staff to be our blessing. As they sing this song this morning, I'm going to ask you in a moment, whether you need the rod or the staff, you speak to the Lord yourself. You know it for yourself. Do you need the rod or do you need the staff? It's a conscious decision that you have to make. But as you cry out to God, He will give you what you desperately need to help you for your betterment. Remember with children, if you spear the rod, you can't control the child. God doesn't beat us up and doesn't abuse us. He blesses us. Right now, I'm just going to ask, even before we sing, would you just bow your heads and begin to talk to the Lord? It's one or the other prayer. God, I need the rod. I really do need to stop. I need that prod, that poke. I need you, Lord, to put the poke on me because I don't seem to get it sometimes. And I keep repeating the same error over and over again. But if you're in where you've been hurt by others, wounded, then ask Him, God, would you take the surgeon's knife and just dig through to where that wound is? Because I've been trying to heal it myself, but I can't. I don't have the power to do so. But God, you know how to put the healing balm. So would you take that staff, that rod, and would you separate the wool, the thickness, the mask, the covering that I've put over it? And would you today, oh God, today, pour healing oil. God, right now, pour healing oil into the souls of people. Some have been so deeply wounded, that God, they can't even figure out how to say it. They've learned to just live with the wound. But today, oh God, I ask for the balm to get inside the wound. There have been words spoken over people's lives. There have been hits. There have been abuses. And God Almighty, whether it's a physical abuse or verbal abuse or emotional abuse, in the name of Jesus, God, let your healing power rest on your people today. For we need your divine touch right now. Let healing waters flow upon your people. Let healing water flow because you're a healer, a mighty healer. Gracious God, do something in this place, young and old alike. God, there are seniors that have the wool has grown so thick that nothing has ever gotten to it. But today, God, would you take the rod from heaven and separate the thickness that has covered it and remove the scab off of it and pour oil in, that great deep healing will happen. And oh God, some, Lord God, have been pushed over the cliff. They didn't do anything to get there. They just got pushed over. But God, would you reach down with the staff and pull them up? Just pull them up and let them feel the mighty hand of God lifting them up again. Lift them up again, I pray, because you are an awesome God. So we thank you today, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we believe in the miracle of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. for the freshness of your spirit, for your presence among us, for hearing our bleat, hearing our cries. God, your word promises when you hear, you will answer. We look forward to the answers. And God, forgive us for not reporting the answers of the past. Help us to report the answers of the present. That we, oh God, will continue to give honor and glory to your name, that many others will be blessed. Bless your people as we go, wheresoever they are. May they feel the presence of the Lord in this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.